where we talk about all things property and property investment. So part two, investing off plan. Nick, why don't you kick us off with what off plan investing means in context of investing here in Dubai?
Sure. So fundamentally, it means purchasing a property during the construction period.
Yeah.
That's the simplest way to put it.
Same as the UK.
Exactly the same. Yeah. I think the Aussies call it off the plan.
Off the plan.
In general, off plan. Yeah, it's right. You'll see is...
I would have preferred it in an Australian accent.
I'll leave that to Matt. He's better at
off
accents.
The plan.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Really good. So the developers will typically launch a project maybe 18, 24 months from completion.
Yeah.
Big guys now are actually doing it a bit further. So Imar, for example, they're doing 27 now and staged payments through that construction period. So yeah, it basically involves getting in, buying a property whilst it's still being built. Obviously, the reason people do that is because you can get a discount, blah, blah, blah. We'll go through that later. But that's fundamentally what it means. So I'll use the word guaranteed very loosely, but you are set to have a property which is brand new handed over to you on that projected completion date, which has never been used, and it's yours to, you know, do what you wish with, whether that's live in or rent out.
And what are some of the key advantages? You touched on a couple there of investing off plan here in Dubai.
Yeah, so I'm sure they're similar to a lot in the UK. There will be a couple of different ones which I'll mention, but the first one is discount.
Yeah.
So in Dubai, launches, as in when a developer announces and actually allows the units to start selling, are massive. So the reason there's so much demand is because the prices are significantly cheaper than later on during that construction period. So the first one is discount. The Dubai market, you generally get about a 15 to 20% lower rate than if you were to buy something that's just about to complete.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, that's for a good, you know, industry standard product. So discount is the main one. Second one is choosing a unit.
Yeah.
Again, same as the UK, you get to pick and choose your units. As there is a lot of supply in Dubai, picking the right unit is, I would say, even more important. You know, views are a big thing here. Layout is a big thing here. So picking the correct unit is important. And if you buy off plan and you buy early, you're going to have more selection and be able to do that. Thirdly, I would say payment plans. Yeah. So that's very, very unique to the Dubai market. Dubai market is infamous for having flexible and long-term payment plans. So that might mean you can spread the payment through the construction period and then pay a bit on handover, or you can mortgage the balance on handover. And in some cases as well, it has slowed down now, but some developers still allow you to pay a certain amount through the construction period and then have that, what they call a post-handover payment plan. So where you can spread those payments for 2-3 years after practical completion. So you've got the keys, you're earning rental income, and you're still paying it off. And the big thing, of course, is it's interest free.
Yeah,
that's so headache you guys have had about interest rates, etc.
Yeah,
we've all had. That's, you know, eliminated if you've got a decent payment plan. However, due to demand and due to, you know, values rising, developers are not as generous. So what you'll notice is when the market shifts, for example, just prior to COVID, etc., there was a lot more flexibility. There was a lot more lenient. Developers wanted sales done, so they offered good stuff. Then they've tightened up a bit. And, you know, there's not actually that many post-handover payment plans out there these days. So, yeah, a couple, I'll stop there, but a few of the main ones are getting that initial discount up front, being able to pick your unit just because of supply being so full in Dubai, there's so much of it. And then thirdly, getting that interest-free payment plan and spreading it through in the construction period. So allowing you to leverage interest-free and, of course, improving your capital outlay. So you're not dumping loads of capital in at the start. So they're the three major ones.
We've got payment plans now in the UK, haven't we?
Well, yeah, definitely. It's good to hear as well, to be fair. Like, I know you mentioned post-payment plans, which is really a thing that we don't really associate at all in the UK. I mean, I think the UK, there's a very small handful of developers that will ever do the payment plans in general. So it's really nice to hear. I think that's what is a massive, or incentivizes a lot of overseas buyers, is a payment plan.
Yep.
It's attractive. They don't have to put their funds down all at once. And some people can obviously utilize that from just paying off with their income.
With Rawson's Mill, which, haven't we?
We've had with the UK market and a couple of the developments there, like you mentioned, Rawson's. It's not having to put a lot of your funds all in at once, and if you don't have the money and you've got a fairly good wage coming in, it can be put towards that every month.
So then we mentioned in the first part of this podcast the growth factor that's going on in Dubai. So does that translate into off plan as well? Because obviously, like in the UK, we have the existing market and we have the off plan market, and what a lot of people I don't think realise is that the new build market at the moment in the UK is actually performing very strongly. Prices are really doing well, holding up. Whereas in the existing market is having a bit more of a struggle. Not bad, but it's struggling in certain places. So how does that correlate with the Dubai real estate market?
Yeah, good question. I mean, here we call them the primary and secondary markets. Yep. So primary market is when you're buying an off-plan new build property direct from the developer, and a secondary market is what you think about as typical estate agency in the UK. Yeah. So where you're buying from another owner and probably haggling them down as much as possible. The primary market is doing very, very well overall. What you'll typically find is that because there's a huge amount of supply here, obviously when a new project is released, each developer, we were saying earlier, they want to slightly improve the facilities or the spec of the scheme. Mm. They also want to slightly increase the price.
Yeah.
So that happens each time, and naturally the market then pushes up.
Yeah.
I would say you do have to be a bit careful. I think there's kind of a novelty factor sometimes. Like I was saying with these branded residences. Mm. You know, some of these penthouse units, you know, the Bugatti penthouse in Business Bay was 750 million dirhams.
Wow.
And you can actually park your car in the property. So
it's pretty crazy.
So I do think you've got to be careful if developers are overinflating prices for high floor units. I think views are sometimes a bit overpriced.
Yeah.
Mm. So for example, you could have a lovely, you know, skyline view, but then you get the sea view the other side. You've got to work out, is the price increase proportionate to the rental extra that you would achieve? Is it a worthwhile investment effectively? Yeah. And I don't think it always is when you run the numbers. So you get a lot of experienced investors that will actually look at the mid to lower floors.
Yeah.
When you get a lot of amateur investors that say, oh, I want the highest floor, the best view. It's the value for money where the growth is and where the wealth is. So there's a couple of things that you want to look out for in terms of off-plan pricing. But at the moment, because there's so much demand, you know, to give you an idea, 55%, I said it earlier, I think 55-60% of the transactions per month are generally off plan of the whole market. Okay, so if you look at quarter two 2023, in that 3 month period, there was over 15,000 transactions which were off plan. Yeah. So that gives you an idea of the volume of what's happening in the market here. And again, that's for the reasons that we've mentioned earlier, payment plans, discounts, etc. So yeah, I think overall off-plan pricing is doing very, very well. Developers are just nudging up prices. Got to be a bit careful about overpaying for views and branded names sometimes. But in general, there's a good opportunity to get good growth on the off-plan side as well.
No, that's good. So you touched on it and you gave us a snippet about looking out for, obviously, the pricing factor. What other risks should purchasers look out for when buying off-plan real estate in Dubai? Mm.
Yeah, so as I touched on, there's a lot of developers in Dubai.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are very, very good. Very, very good. But also a lot of them are 50-50. the polite way of saying it. So I would say, think about the brand name of the developer and make sure their track record stacks up. And the other thing as well, which is very, very different to us being in the UK, where I would like to say, you know, we're a bit more professional, we're a bit more specific when we're advising investors.
Yeah.
And that is actually across the board with the developers in the UK as well. They're generally more accurate with their delivery dates. A big shock you'll find here is having a development 3 to 6 months late is not uncommon.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not uncommon at all. So a big difference, or something in terms of your question, what investors want to look out for, is just to be aware that if you're product is due Q4 24, you know, that's more than likely going to roll over to 25.
Yeah.
So our job as consultants is to warn everyone, advise everyone, let them know the score, and then they can make that decision. But that's a big difference. So picking the right brand name and getting a good product finish and just being aware of the time frames and delivery, that's a big factor. One reason behind that, and sometimes why developers are not as quick or as efficient as they should be, is that by the governing body, RERA, who I mentioned earlier, they have a 12-month allowance post-completion, effectively like a long stop date in the UK. Yeah. So they have that allowance, and so they can just fundamentally delay if they want.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of things that I'd look out for. In general, you are a little bit more protected. In recent years, Dubai has become, they've added a bit more red tape. So they are using escrow accounts. So a lot of the developers, investors' funds, sorry, are secured and ring-fenced in a third-party account, I'm sure you guys would love to have in the UK. So we don't have solicitors here, but we have escrow accounts, which is a big one. So yeah, there's a couple of things that I look out for, but overall, if you're picking a big brand name, you've got a good agent, and it's all stacks up, you're going to be fine investing off plan.
I was going to say to you, Nick, as well, obviously, we know sometimes in the UK, when investors are paying funds into an off-plan development, sometimes it can be utilised to the build, as we said, obviously, some of the funds. Is that with the escrow account there, is that the whole funds that an investor would put in, or is that partly accessible for the developer to dip into?
Yeah, I believe it is partly accessible. Okay. I think it would vary depending on the amounts. So yes. I would like to check that. What I would say though is there are stipulations around when a developer can start selling a scheme okay. as well. So I believe they either require 50% of the construction costs ready to go okay. in an escrow account for
yeah.
the build,
yeah.
Or they have to have delivered 50% of the scheme before they can start selling. I think that first part is true, but either way, there is definitely restrictions around building and when you can start selling, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that gives a good layer of credibility yeah. and a bit of reassurance. But yeah, I do believe some capital is allowed to be used okay. for the build.
I was going to say just lastly as well, with the funding side, obviously we know in the UK, some developments will have full funding in place. Is that quite common in Dubai to have kind of, I guess some of the top developers will have the full funding right away. I'm not sure. How does that work?
Yeah, I think one big difference is the size of developer here. So yeah. a lot of these developers have delivered thousands of units in comparison to some of the more boutique developers that we would work with in yes. the UK. So a lot of them are cash rich.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that you know they're going to necessarily use and dump all their money into finishing your development. They're going to plan and obviously calculate their budgeting. But in general, they are going to have enough money. Finance is rarely an issue for the build, especially if they are using you know a bit of the investors' funds. And some of these deposit levels can be quite high. So generally, they've got a lot of cash at hand.
Okay,
that's good to know. So then, is there anything you recommend investors looking for specifically when wanting to purchase an off-plan? So they found, let's say they found a development, they like the developer, there's a launch going on. What should they look for when they're picking an off-plan unit?
Yeah, so obviously have a look into the developers themselves. So yep. do the basic due diligence on them. So their track record, what they've done before. Look at some of their properties on the secondary market.
Yeah.
So the property portal here is the main dominant one. It's called Property Finder. Then you've also got Bayut as well, which are the Rightmove and Zoopla equivalents.
Yep.
So having a look on the secondary market and seeing what that developer has delivered previously and what those are selling and renting for, that can be really useful. Obviously, location due diligence as well. What activity is happening in that area, either at a government level or private level. So is there more schemes shooting up? You can search, you know, there's maps online. You can search permit numbers, project numbers. So you can do a lot of stuff around how an area is going to transform in the years to come. So a big one, what happens here is people buy and then before you know it, you've got a huge building next door blocking your view.
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful of stuff like that. And I would just say the other thing is the transport network. So a big, big difference here is that a lot of people in Dubai drive. Okay. Yeah. In the UK, especially London, you know, you think everyone nips around on the tube.
Underground, yeah.
Here, it's not the case. So you will have parking supplied with your purchase, but road access is massive. As you guys have experienced, traffic is a big issue here on occasion, so especially if you're in the hotspots. So making sure you've got a scheme which is well located to get onto the main roads, whether that's Sheikh Zayed, Al Khail, wherever it is, road access is a big thing to look at.
Yeah.
Not anywhere near, metro trains are not anywhere near as important as getting a good road network.
Yeah,
it's interesting. To
be fair, when I was
that.
In traffic yesterday, I blinked for a second. I thought I was on the M25 again. It was horrendous. Yeah. But
literally, as well, the drivers just cutting each other up every 2 minutes.
Oh, that's honestly. The driving standards here.
They don't care.
Yeah.
I was saying to my taxi on the way here, I think someone cut him up completely, and I was like, in the UK, everyone would be really annoyed that they've done that. He's like, that's standard.
It's just normal. So with off-plan investing then, what finance options are available for purchasers? So we've got a UK purchaser looking at off-plan. What's his finance options look like mortgages, etc.?
Yeah, so through the construction period, you're going to have set requirements from the developer, same as you would have in the UK. You'd have a deposit, effectively.
Yeah.
Now, there is... even if there's not a long payment plan, there is typically staged deposit levels, which will be spread. So you might have, you know, 10, 20% down, then 5% a quarter later or something like that. So you've got to be aware that the developer will have, in every case, some form of cash requirement that you need to have liquid available to go into the scheme. in line with the dates. So it's not necessarily you need it straight away, but you have to. You'll have a set schedule, and you've got to make sure you hit that. So you've got to cover off that bit. Second bit is you can see if they'll do a payment plan. Well, typically they'll advertise that heavily. There's no negotiation around that, so you will know. So that's one option for you. Again, won't be as long as a typical mortgage, but you will have no interest to pay. You'll have set payments, and you'll have less red tape. You don't have to do credit checks, anything like that. And if you're a few weeks late sometimes for a payment, it's not the end of the world. You know, the bank's not going to be knocking at your door like they might do if you use a mortgage. So those are the two core options. And then we're seeing mortgage demand here through the roof. Whoa. A huge amount of transactions are being done on a mortgage basis.
Interesting.
So that's a good one, which a lot of people don't think about. So just to be very, very clear, mortgages are readily available for non-residents. Okay, so if you're sat in the UK, more than likely you can get a mortgage in Dubai if you could get one in the UK. That's how I would look at it. One big key difference, though, is the cash deposit required, what we call the LTV rate.
Yeah.
So you normally need a minimum of 40% cash based on the property value, okay? Yeah. And that's separate to what the developer is asking. Maybe we could speak about this another time, but generally the developer will ask for in and around that during the construction period. But you, at a minimum, you're gonna need 40% cash as a non-resident.
Yep.
But the actual mortgage process, the interest rates, the timeframes, 20, 25 years, very, very similar to the UK.
That's pretty cool. And
just to note, Nick, obviously we know in the mortgages in the UK, we know the rates at the moment.
Mm.
Are they similar in comparison over here? What are the rates looking like over here?
Yeah, very, very, very similar. So you're typically looking at, it can be 5-6.5%, something like that, 5-6.5%, depending on the profile. So it's not going to be a huge difference compared to like someone buying in the UK.
It's nice to know, isn't it, that at least with the investors, it's fairly similar in terms of comparison.
Mm. So what would... What's the average yield here at the moment, long term and short term?
If you're looking across the board,
yeah,
then you're probably looking at about in between 5-6%
for off plan.
If
you're looking at off plan purchase, what's the average yield they'll be expecting? Our return on investment, or as it is here, but yield?
Yeah, again, it would be around 6%.
Yeah,
if you're looking across the board.
Yeah,
because obviously Dubai is exceptionally diverse.
Yeah.
So you have the communities I was speaking about where you can get in at £150,000, but then you go right up to big bespoke mansions and high villas. So if you look at the average across them, then you'd be looking at 6%. But in these emerging communities, you get a new build, it hands over, you can net 8% in some cases in some of these emerging communities, especially if you've made a good developer choice. So really I would say on average across the board, you're looking at around 6% in reality. But if you pick and choose, you're getting it at the right project, the right location at the right time, you can drive that up to 7-8% on the long-term let market.
Cool.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then what advice would you give someone who's a first-time investor considering the off-plan market here in Dubai? In short, what would you give them advice wise?
The first thing I would say is research. Okay, research is absolutely key. If you find a good consultant, they're going to be worth their weight in gold.
Mm-hmm.
But just moving that to aside for a minute, doing your desktop research at home is absolutely paramount.
Yeah.
The reason why it's so advantageous is because the Dubai market is way more transparent than the UK market. I could, websites like, again, we'll put these in the notes, but DXB Interact, I always mention. This website in real time presents Dubai Land Department data. So it's effectively like us being able to go online now and search every land register record for land registry record for transactions that were done yesterday.
Wow.
So it's really, really good. So I could go in there, type in a building name, and you can see every rental price in that building. Anyone can.
It shows how archaic our system is in the UK.
Yeah. And the planning system as well.
Oh, God, don't
so you can actually get real data and facts.
Real data. You not can inform people, your investment decisions, not overinflated projections from developers.
So research is key.
So research is absolutely paramount. Really, and you've got the resources to do that.
Yeah.
So a good consultant will give you that data. It will tell you where to look online.
Yeah.
But obviously you can go away and do that. So DXB Interact is a great one for monthly, quarterly, and micro-analyzing developments, what we just mentioned. And one more I'd mention as well is Property Monitor. So this is a RICS qualified team. They're kind of the gold standard for industry reports each month that everyone uses. So they will present effectively the same data, so Dubai Land Department data, but they give their analysis on it, and it's really unbiased. Like, it's if prices are going down in certain places, like they'll give their opinion and be transparent. And you know, these guys are going on the radios across Dubai, so they're, nice. Really, really well known. So really good sources, DXB Interact and Property Monitor. But my advice would be do your research on locations, on developers, and on the market stats, and then you'll be in a really good position. So you're not going to be fooled, or you're not going to be, you know, taken for a ride, basically.
Cool. So research is key, and try and find yourself a good broker or consultant, I think, would be a good helping hand, and that's someone based over here, of course, and can help out with that. Brilliant. So in terms of those sites you mentioned, is there anywhere else that potential investors can look for? Is there any articles? Is there any sort of publishing outlets that you would recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be careful with press just because it's very similar to the UK where you're going to go for the headlines.
Yeah.
So, you know, Arabian Business, et cetera, Gulf News, like they're just, you know, newspapers effectively. So they're gathering attention. I think, so DXB Interact, Property Monitor, I think good old property portal research is great because they'll do their reports as well. So Property Finder, Beyoot is a good one. But other than that, I'd probably recommend, which a lot of people don't do, is actually follow some decent people on social media.
There's a lot of sort of out there brokers, isn't there? They're on social media. They give a lot of advice.
Give a lot of information as well. Yeah, it's really good.
If you find a good one, considering there's, you know, 8,000, over 8,000, you know, real estate agents in the Dubai market, if you follow a couple of CEOs that give genuine, you know, unbiased, realistic advice, you know, they don't care because most of the time they're making a lot of money anyway. It's a hot market. They're going to be realistic. So if you pick out two or three of those and just, you know, follow their content, then that can be a really good up-to-the-minute research method.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's been very insightful, those two-part episodes that we've done. And I think that realistically, it's probably better if me and Matt come here every week to Dubai to record.
Maybe
this
when it's cooler, though. Hey?
Yeah, when it's a bit cooler. No, but hopefully that's given some good insight and information to any of our listeners that are interested in the Dubai real estate market, or investing here, or even moving here, for example.
Yeah.
Obviously we're based here. We've got Nick's sister company here as well, Mazar. So we've got a very good presence here in Dubai as Track Capital, and we're really happy that we're able to bridge the gap between the UK and the Dubai real estate market to help investors to invest.
Exactly, couldn't have said it better. So yeah, one thing I think we really, you know, where we differentiate ourselves is we've got a huge UK presence, a massive network in the UK. But as Toby said, we're in Dubai. I'm on the ground here, got a team here. Our office is in Dubai Marina. Mm-hmm. I've spent the past 2 years building relationships with developers. So any stock in this marketplace we can get from developers in most cases, other than these hyped up launches.
Yeah.
But you know, 95% of the market we can access. So if you want to work with us, reach out, give us a shout, and we'll guide you from start to finish. We've got dedicated consultants, as Toby said, we're a regulated sister company as well. So yeah, looking forward to helping everyone.
Yeah, let's wrap it up there. Well, it's been a pleasure recording this episode from here
for
in Dubai.
Time, Nick. Cool.
See you really in the cold UK. Yeah,
yeah. Don't remind us. Right, we'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.